WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Heather Bosch. Oh, Lord, my God. The scene is being set for the public memorial today for conservative activist Charlie Kirk. President Trump is expected to speak.
Celebrate the life of a great man today. Really a great man. He's a young man, but a great man, and we look forward to it. It really is. We want to look at it as a time of healing, a time of whatever, that something like this could have happened is not even believable.
Kirk was fatally shot during an event at a college in Utah. He was known for rallying young conservatives.
I love what he stood for, and someone that was so strong in his views and his morals and his religion, like, that's what I want to embody.
CBS's Chris Van Cleve is in Glendale, Arizona, the setting for the service.
Local police, we're expecting 100,000 or more people to attempt to attend this memorial service. So there is the primary venue, State Farm Stadium. The hockey arena across the street is the overflow venue. That still may not be enough to give everyone who wants to attend a seat, which is why we saw people starting to line up at midnight, 7 hours before the doors open.
Security is tight. ABC suspended Jimmy Kimmel and his late night show after he commented on the Republicans' response to Kirk's death. Republican Senator Mark Wayne Mullen tells CNN he thinks that was appropriate.
There's no excuse for making a joke. I don't care if you're a comedian or who you are, to making a joke about an assassination. There's no room for that at all, and ABC made that decision.
The move also followed what appeared to be pressure from the FCC chairman. The federal government could shut down in just 9 days if Congress fails to pass funding. Democrats accuse Republicans of failing to negotiate with them on health care. One person is in custody after a shooting during a wedding in New Hampshire. WBZ TV's Logan Hall.
We are continuing to get new information from the New Hampshire Attorney General's office. They just released the name of the man they believe is responsible for this shooting. That's 23-year-old Hunter Nadeau. That's the man they believe stormed into the Sky Meadow Country Club here in Nashua, New Hampshire at about 8 o'clock last night, opening fire on guests.
One man was killed, at least two people injured. No motive has been officially released yet. The United Kingdom takes a stand.
The United Kingdom formally recognizes the state of Palestine.
Prime Minister Keir Starmer says more than 150 countries recognize a Palestinian state. It's hoped the largely symbolic move will pressure Israel into ending its war in Gaza. Israel and the U.S. say the move rewards the Hamas militants. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt Mayer on air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For Civic Media News, I'm Charlie Pittman. Parents in Wisconsin are more stressed than ever, and one in four say they don't get the social and emotional support they need. That's according to a UW-Milwaukee report. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
Professor Liz Sharda with Hope College says parenting stress represents a mismatch between demands and available resources exacerbated by self-reliant nuclear family models.
So this expectation that we have to do it all, that we have to be everything for our children and for our family system. And those expectations are kind of operating in a context of a real decrease in social connection and increase in loneliness.
Sharda says moving back to a society that embraces collective care could help to ease the burden on parents. That includes building support networks before they're urgently needed and shifting expectations about parenting to ensure both caregivers and children are getting the support they need. Collective care is grounded in interdependence and belonging and involves seeing others' well-being as a shared responsibility rather than an individual burden. This can range from formal arrangements such as co-housing communities to informal neighbor relationships. Sharda says families with stronger connections to others demonstrate greater resilience in handling both daily stress and crises. She emphasizes the value of having multiple people committed to a child's well-being, offering diverse strengths beyond what individual parents can provide. Sharda stresses that this parenting epidemic needs macro-level solutions.
We also need systemic and structural changes too. We need support for policies that make connection possible. So it's not just an individual problem or a family level problem, but a societal problem too.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt and Nair on air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mostly cloudy sky. Look for a few showers and thunderstorms across the area, mainly this afternoon. Highs in the mid-70s and a southwest breeze. Tonight, shower and storm chances continue. Mostly cloudy skies, lows in the upper 50s. More storms on Monday. Currently 71 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by Professor Howard Schwaber of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We discuss what went down on Friday at the CDC and what that portends for expertise in America. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Schwaba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Rational Revolution. I am your host, Mark Becker. You're on the Civic Media Radio Network, and have I got a show for you? I am so excited to be sitting down with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. What's up?
Oh, my gosh. Mark, it's so good to be here.
Hi.
With you.
Yes. So this is the first time. I've never met you. This is the first time I'm meeting you. I'm really excited that you're here. Hey, thanks.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I'm a fan of the show.
Oh, thank you.
And so I was excited to come and, you know, whenever I have... I always want a reason to leave Madison.
Oh, yes.
And this is a good one. And it's also... on a Packer game day,
it is.
Which is like, it doesn't get better than that.
So the first time that I kind of paid attention, I was like, oh, this, she's freaking cool, was when a dear friend of mine was running for re-election in Door County, Mr. Caleb Frostman.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you guys did like a video of, it was like a sarcastic, like skipping down the streets.
We were knocking on doors together. Yes.
And so
and
I was
door knocking is fun. Everyone should do it with us.
Yes. And so I was texting Caleb and I'm like, she's awesome. Like, hell yeah. Like, that's cool. So that's my Sarah Godlewski story. So I'm glad that you're here and we could talk about our dear friend Caleb, and he's doing very well in Madison. So yeah.
Yeah. And tell him if he's listening, we miss him. So
I know
he was a great asset in the legislature.
I hope
in the
he's
Senate.
Not done.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I asked him that before and he's like, don't talk to me about that.
Right.
They're like, come on, Caleb.
Well, he's busy now, what, getting married and, you know, like starting that chapter.
Yeah, and
his
he's
life,
such so. A good person.
I know.
He's just genuinely good dude.
And I'm just on the side note, Caleb, if you're listening, I'm waiting for my hunting trip. So we have talked about this a few times as well. So anytime I can go out there, I'm ready for it.
There you go, Caleb. Senator Frostman. Yes. So you're here. You've got some exciting news that you've recently announced.
Just announced my run for to be Wisconsin's next lieutenant governor.
Holy cow.
I'm really excited about it.
That's amazing. And we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to talk about what is your origin story? How did you get into this crazy arena?
Well, I'll tell you, I never thought I would be sitting here as your Secretary of State, let alone previously, Mark, before that, your state treasurer.
Yes.
But I'm, you know, I'm from the Chippewa Valley, fifth generation Wisconsinite. My parents are actually retired public school teachers. So shout out to all of our public school teachers out there. I know that work is not easy. But something that my parents would always talk about, they'd be like, you know, Sarah, when you see something wrong, you got to stand up and do something about it. And believe it or not, Mark, my story in public office started with that and Scott Walker. You know?
Who?
Remember that guy?
Yeah, that guy. Hey, he's not running for governor.
Thank God.
Yeah, right.
I think we're all glad about that.
Uh-huh.
But he you know, in a lot of his many great ideas, he tried to get rid of the state treasurer's office.
Yes, he did.
Because who needs checks and balances, Mark, in government?
Yes.
And as somebody who was doing a lot of financial work, particularly access to capital, because the amount of money Silicon Valley was getting in one day is what Wisconsin was getting in an entire year.
Really?
Which is wild. Like,
that
we,
is crazy.
We run on Main Street, not on Wall Street.
Right.
Mark. And so I was like, oh my God, the state treasurer should try to do more local investment and more local work. And come to find out, Scott Walker was trying to get rid of that office. And, you know, found myself running the Save Our Fiscal Watchdog ballot measure. Oh, wow. And it was a bipartisan coalition.
Okay.
Traveled the state talking about what the state treasurer should and could be doing. And my husband's like, God bless you, Sarah. Call me when this is over. What other trouble are you going to get in?
Yeah.
And we won with a supermajority.
Yeah.
And so then the next question was, okay, well, who's going to run for this office?
Right.
And I remember, I don't know how your grandma is or was, Mark, but mine, she was part of the first group of women to serve during World War II. You know, a pretty like trailblazer. And I was like, Grandma, I don't know. I'm a political nobody from the Chippewa Valley. Like, my parents aren't political. Like, how can I run for a statewide office? It's 6 million people. And she's like, Sarah, don't ask for permission. Ask for forgiveness. She's like, just do it. And I was like, all right, Grandma, I think I can do it. So, yeah. And then in 2018, I actually flipped more Trump counties than the governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general as a political nobody from the Chippewa Valley.
Holy crap.
She just never know.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
So that was kind of my entree, I think, into where we are today.
No kidding. I'm going to do a cheap plug for my grandma because the day we're recording this, today is her 90th birthday.
Is her 90th today? Happy birthday, Grandma.
That is a true story.
Oh my gosh.
And she was a school teacher as well.
She was.
She taught special ed way back in the day when those kids, in quotes, were not allowed in the school. And so she had to teach them in a RV in the parking lot of the schools.
No way.
Yes. And so she has stories of it being really cold and all of that kind of stuff. So she was can I say this on the radio? She was a badass.
She was.
Can I say that?
I feel like you're
getting the thumbs up on that. Yeah, so we're gonna go ahead and move. But yes,
I would agree.
Happy birthday, Grandma.
Happy birthday, Grandma. And thank you, Grandma, for what you're doing. We're doing for our kids.
Yeah,
and paving the way.
So, yeah, you know, it was funny when I was I used to be a chairman of the Republican Party, and I remember in some of those races we would have candidates for those offices saying, "I'm running for a state treasurer, and I'm running to fire myself," and you know, they're like. Yeah, right. You're shrugging like, that's kind of the same thing. I'm like, okay.
But Mark, my question for you even back then is like, for the party that talks about checks and balances.
Yes.
And like
fiscal responsibility.
Yes. Respect the Constitution.
Yes.
Respect the founding fathers. How does one just say, you know what? I'm just going to get rid of that office because we don't need that. Like, it just seems wild to me.
It was wild. And, you know, it was always kind of off-putting for me because I was always a moderate, you know, then. I still am, but like, you know, to try to understand, like, well, that's weird. And then, you know, they're not based in truth, you know, and being genuine about what they believe and all of that. So, you know, it sounds cool to say, I'm going to fire myself. It sounds cool to say, you know, Secretary La Follette, you know, was the Secretary of State and his only job was to keep the seal of the state of Wisconsin. And he lost it. I remember, you know, we had some weird ones.
Right. I think what I just find fascinating is, to your point, this attack on these constitutional offices, which to me is just a power grab.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, the reason why the Constitution of Wisconsin was developed the way it was is that everybody needed a responsibility to help ensure checks and balances.
Yes.
Whether it was the, you know, Secretary of State working on checks and balances from an operational perspective or the treasurer with the chief financial officer of the state. And we look at what's happening now at the federal level and we see how important these checks and balances are. Because you can just be railroaded by some authoritarian president that just is railroading the law. And so the more folks we have being that checks and balance, I think the better.
Yeah. And, you know, it's wild. And I think this is interesting, too, is when Scott Walker was governor, there were no checks, nor were there balances.
Correct.
And it was very interesting, I think really super telling, when a check slash balance decided to show themselves in the statewide offices that you were part of.
Yep.
That's when they found their morality and the Republican side. And they said, you know, boy, the governor, he has too much power. Right. Do you remember that? Like, right. Wild that you would think that now that Tony Evers was elected. Wild.
Right. Oh, let's not forget, at the end of 2018, Scott Walker launched the lame duck.
Yes, he sure did.
Which took
and
away.
And what a lame duck it was.
Right. And tried to take away. Yeah. I mean, more powers from, like, you know, giving the legislature more power.
Right.
At the expense of, again, these independently elected constitutional officers like the governor and like the attorney general.
Yes.
So,
how has that been, being on, I mean, like, literally... And now, finally, the supermajorities are gone in the state house.
Right.
How has that been, being the only buffer? You know?
Yeah, I mean,
what, one of three?
Great.
Four?
There is, it's the governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, and myself right now. I mean, I will say that it's incredibly challenging in a way that... we're trying to day in and day out just do our job. You know, I look at my Secretary of State job, Mark, and I actually run on my own revenue. So the money that I use to run my office is not from tax dollars. It's actually from work that I do. Mm-hmm. One of the responsibilities is that if you, like with international work, so you think about if you'd ever want to expand your business or if you would want to adopt a child or you want to study abroad, you have to get those papers validated through my office. You can't get it done by Minnesota or Michigan or Illinois. And yet we are not funded to do any of that work at all.
Why not?
Apparently the legislature doesn't think that's important.
Let's delve into that.
And so, which is completely insane. And so when I got there, can you imagine if you're a family that just finally heard that you can adopt a child that you've wanted for so long, and then you go to the Secretary of State and there is a month long wait? Mm-hmm. That's not showing up and delivering. But what's frustrating is it's not that we don't have the money to do that work. The legislature just takes all of it.
Right.
And once again, in a power grab to try to take away at the expense of what Wisconsinites need.
Right. Yeah. We're talking with Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. It's wild to kind of see those things of, you know, oh, we're going to take away your budget, and then we're going to take away the people that work with for you,
right?
And we're going to put you into the basement, and then, you know, all these little childish games that were played, all in the effort of just, you know, we're going to own the libs and keep on to our power. It's wrong.
But here's the thing, Arca, I will tell you, is that growing up, and I think being a Wisconsinite, we're scrappy.
Yes.
And you know, like, to me, whenever they tell me what I can't do, I just go and show them what I can do.
Cool, watch
kind
me.
Of thing. Like, yeah. I'm like, watch me.
Yes.
And so, you know, like, we modernize the office. Now we have services that are all accessible online. I mean, we have provided record-breaking distributions to public schools.
Yes.
We have provided almost $1 billion to communities to help rebuild, and things like helping to buy, whether it's fire trucks that they need, or helping with community safety initiatives. Like, you name it, we're helping to do those kind of fundings. And so just because they gave me a pay-as-you-go flip phone and might have turned off my Wi-Fi when I joined.
Track phone.
When I was elected,
did
I said,
"Did they really turn off?"
I had no Wi-Fi when I got into my office. It was a real welcome party.
That's crazy.
All right, great. You know what? You're going to try to stop me, but it's not going to work.
Wow.
So
that's wild.
Here we are.
So to the people that were running for Secretary of State, you don't just sit at your desk and stare at the seal of the state of Wisconsin.
No.
Okay.
You are talking.
That's so good to know.
Day in and day out. Yes. You are. I mean, I think we are one of the most busiest offices in the Capitol, because people are coming in day in and day out to get these services done.
That's awesome. So that's what you do. And we're going to talk about some of the announcement that you made and how that's going. And maybe another cheap shout out to Caleb Frostman here as we get to the break. I'm going to have to tell him, he better listen to this one.
He's got to listen to this one. Yeah, right. And hello to Emily, his fiance.
Yes.
So we're a big fan of her too.
Yeah, she's wonderful. So yeah, I'm really glad that you're here and I'm excited to take this conversation forward here on the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker and we will be right back.
The Tap.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax, but the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Why throw your hat in the ring to become governor, especially in times like this?
Folks are tired of politicians who focus on cultural and partisan issues versus delivering real resources going to change lives. And that's what we've done in Milwaukee County. And so my calling is being able to be there for people at my best when people are dealing with their worst times. And as elected officials, as community leaders, that's what we should be focused on.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. We're sitting down with Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. And so what have you been up to lately? Anything new?
Well, a little less than 3 weeks ago, Mark, I announced that I'm running to be Wisconsin's next lieutenant governor.
Yes. which would be awesome.
Which would be incredible.
Yes.
It was really funny, though. My sisters, when I was making this decision about doing this work, I called them and I said, Anna, Laura, I'm the oldest of three.
Yeah.
And I go, so I'm thinking I'm going to go run for lieutenant governor. And my sisters are like, great. And my one sister goes, so Sarah, if you win, that means that you will have won three executive offices. Yeah. They're like, is that some sort of trophy you're going after? Or like, what's this about? And yeah. I said, only if it's a trophy for cleaning up after Republicans. And I'm like, I'm ready for it. So, but I think for me, Mark, it's always been about what is the best way in which I can serve. And when I have been traveling across the state, I mean, people are fed up with certain, like with a lot of things that are going on. Most recently I was sharing how I was talking to a group of nurses and they were talking about how they can't afford a home and the neighborhood and that they serve.
Yeah.
But yet they're watching these billionaires write off their second and third vacation home.
Yeah.
And they're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know? Or I was talking to a mom who was a server, and she was working two to three jobs, just to make sure she can, you know, stay ahead. Yeah. And that's not, to me, I think, the Wisconsin that we want. You know, people should be able to have one good paying job and be able to buy a home and be able to build a future. Folks should be able to get health care and not make it a debt sentence for them. Or even, like, I think about, I'm a mom of a 5-year-old, Mark. And like, one of the most important things that I love so much about Wisconsin is our clean lakes.
Yeah.
And being able to swim. And yet we're seeing PFAS, these forever chemicals, like, what's going to be left for his generation?
Right.
And if we don't stop standing up and fighting against this now, then what's going to happen?
Right. You know, we had Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez on, and she's running for governor.
Yes.
And so, like, you know, what was the time, like, how, not the timing, but like, so you, she announced, and then you're like, ding,
I mean, I think for a long time, everybody in the state of Wisconsin was wondering, will Governor Evers run again?
Right. And he's been great.
He's been a great governor. I'll never forget, one of my favorite Governor Evers story is when when he was running for governor and I was running for treasurer, we all got on his school bus.
Okay.
And it was a pretty bumpy ride because we were going from Sheboygan up to Green Bay.
Yep.
And what we like to call, we were facing a lot of Scott holes. Because that was during the Scott, at the Scott Walker administration. And he, on our way up, we went to Plymouth, where he is from. And it also is the cheese capital of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So Governor Evers got out and, like, we took a picture by the cow.
Okay.
And then he proceeded to talk to me about all the different cheeses and, like, he worked and, like, what it meant. And then afterwards, he's like, Sarah, we've got a little bit more time. Let's play a game of euchre. So there we were on the bus playing a game of euchre.
It's awesome.
Which I don't think it gets more Wisconsin than that. But I think, you know, going back to it, a lot of us were wondering, he loves Wisconsin.
Yeah.
He is so very much Wisconsin. He's really Wisconsin's governor in so many ways. Will he run again? And then when he decided, which I totally understand.
What a selfless thing.
Yes. For eight plus years, because he was superintendent of public instruction for over 8 years as well. And so you think about it, he has given up so much for so long. I understand why he decided not to. But it then became a question of, okay, what can I best do? And is there a way that I can best serve Wisconsin? And to me, I've always been a very team player type of person. And the lieutenant governor, I think, is a really important part of the team that actually can really address some of these really complex problems. Because when you look at it, Mark, like, we're not going to one person isn't going to solve healthcare.
Right.
One person isn't going to solve the, like, you know, affordability issues or inflation or, you know, like, worried about public schools. It's going to be a team. And I just really look forward to being on that team and being a part of a team to get these things done.
I have to share a quick Tony Evers story.
Oh, and I love a Tony Evers story.
We were, for whatever reason, I got a call. This was during the time where Kamala Harris was running, and I got a call to help out their campaign. And I did. And I didn't expect anything of it. But then I got another call saying, hey, do you want to meet the vice president? And I was like, holy crap. Hell yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so it was the event with Rippon, with Liz Cheney.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I knew Charlie Sykes was going to be there. And so it was like myself and Charlie Sykes. And then Tony Evers walks in. And he's like, well, would you look at this crowd? You know, and you know, Charlie's like, well, sorry about that. You know, and he sat down with us, literally sat down with us. There was nobody, no staff. They were all out there. And we talked, just shot the BS for an hour.
Yeah.
And talked about how, you know, coming together and how we can, you know, it's just what an awesome, selfless, like, real person.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think he will be missed. But I think the cool thing is, there are some really wonderful people that can go forward into the, okay, well, now what? Oh, we have, right. We've got a good bench.
We've got a really, really good bench. And I think that's something that Wisconsin is just very lucky about is when you look at the folks that have announced or want to announce for governor and even the folks that I've talked to that are running for like Secretary of State and like these other statewide offices, it's a really talented group of people that have experience that I think can really help us continue to move the state forward.
Yeah. And I think, you know, so many of the voices, I think yours is critically important too, are adored by people on both sides. And we're going to talk about that coming up in the next segment here. On the Rational Revolution with me, Mark Becker, and your fearless Secretary of State, Sarah Godlewski, here on the Rational Revolution, the Civic Media Radio Network. Stick around.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
CBS News Brief. Music ahead with the memorial for conservative activist Charlie Kirk. President Trump is expected to speak.
We're going to have a very interesting day, very tough day.
Republican Senator Mark Wayne Mullen supports ABC's decision to suspend Jimmy Kimmel for comments related to Kirk. The move also came after the FCC chair appeared to threaten Disney and ABC.
This is also a network that has not been friendly to this administration whatsoever. So I don't think a threat would make any difference whatsoever. They made a decision because Jimmy Kimmel said something that was extremely insensitive and a flat-out lie about the president of the United States.
Mullen on CNN, so was Democratic Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, who points out an investigation was dropped over claims Trump's border czar accepted money from border agents.
We are not supposed to figure out who is best friends with the president, and if they are closely aligned with him, then just ignore things.
CBS News Brief, I'm Heather Bosch.
The Badgers self-destruct. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers lost at home yesterday to the Maryland Terrapins, 27-10. The Badgers had a pass intercepted, then a punt attempt blocked. Maryland also blocked a field goal and racked up half a dozen quarterback sacks. The oddsmakers had Wisconsin 10.5-point favorites on this one. Head coach Luke Fickell.
That's a really difficult one, and we did not play well today, and I'm the first one to start with that. I can't get a punt blocked and expect that you're going to be able to create and generate the momentum that you need to in complementary football, and I think that's it kind of starts right there.
Baseball. Bryce Durang with a clutch RBI single, top of the 10th, to lead the Brewers to a 3-2 victory over the Cardinals last night in St. Louis.
The Durang at bat, that two-strike slider that he took after being called out in the game twice on really marginal pitches, that's like, it gave me chills.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. The magic number now 1 with sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Legendary director Martin Scorsese is 82 years old, but showing no signs of slowing down. Variety reports that the Oscar winner will direct an adaptation of What Happens at Night, a ghost story novel written by Peter Cameron that came out in 2023. The story follows an American couple who goes to a snowy, cold European city to adopt a child. The film has a couple of A-listers attached already in Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. Apple Films will oversee production. Actress Anne Hathaway had some choice words for the press, more specifically, the paparazzi. While filming The Devil Wears Prada 2 in New York City recently, the press got a little too aggressive for her liking. The Les Mis star told the Vultures to relax and back off because there were children on the set. Hathaway and Meryl Streep are both back for the sequel. The much-anticipated follow-up to The Devil Wears Prada hits theaters May 1st of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap. Eau Claire's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price, a mostly cloudy sky. Look for a few showers and thunderstorms across the area, mainly this afternoon. Highs in the mid-70s and a southwest breeze. Tonight, shower and storm chances continue, mostly cloudy skies, lows in the upper 50s. More storms on Monday. Currently 71 degrees.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we get to know one candidate for Secretary of State, another for the state Senate District number 17, all coming up. Join us.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. You got me, Mark Becker, and Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski running for Lieutenant Governor. Hey, if you like what you heard, hop over to civicmedia.us. You can like the show, subscribe, share, all where you get your podcasts. We're everywhere. But yeah, I think share this conversation because she could be your next Lieutenant Governor. It was interesting. We just spoke with the Lieutenant Governor.
Yep.
I didn't realize all the stuff that office does.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what's really exciting about the lieutenant governor role in the state of Wisconsin is first, it's the second in command.
Yep.
Right. So when the governor leaves the state or when like you've got to be ready to go. And I think that's an important quality that people want, somebody that they feel confident that can help lead the state. But then the other piece of it is it has to help be a leader in moving the agenda forward.
Yes.
And so I know, for example, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez's work with healthcare.
Yeah.
And she really led a lot of that work with workforce development, which we know is really important. I mean, right here, we know in the Green Bay area, there's been a lot of attention to healthcare and what's going on. I was just actually talking to my parents in the Chippewa Valley, and my mom had a scare at the ER and they put her in the garage.
Nice.
Because they had no more space to like work with patients. Like we're not talking about a developing country.
Right.
We're talking about Wisconsin.
Well, thank God it's like warm out.
Correct.
You know, like, geez,
like,
Lord.
And this is what I think communities are facing. Like they want, we need to, you know, address these challenges now before they get worse.
Yeah.
Right. And so, but going back, like Sarah in her work as Lieutenant Governor, she's been, I think, a big ally in kind of helping to create and fulfill that agenda.
What do you think the challenges we face as a state? What are those?
I mean, like for starters,
how much time you got?
Yeah, I know. I was gonna say. Well, look, like I think one thing that I come from a financial background, so I can dork out all day about the kitchen table economics. Yeah. So we alone could do a whole
struggling
show on that. And like, here's the recent data came out, and in conversations with Wisconsinites, like 60% of our state lives paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah,
and so you think about it, can you ever own a home when you already have to put $75,000 in a down payment? Like, where are you going to get that money from? And that to me is part of the American dream, and how you build wealth is you have to be able to buy a home, but yet that's out of reach for so many families.
Yes.
Or, you know, I was talking to a group of families just a week ago and they're like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to buy my school supplies.
Right.
Because school supplies have gone up because thanks to Donald Trump and the chaos of tariffs and inflation, but yet we're not making more money. I'm talking to like teachers who are driving Uber on the weekend to make sure that they can finally maybe buy that home or make sure they make their home payment. And so to me, I think first and foremost, we have to continue to talk about affordability and how we want to deliver when it comes to making sure people have the resources they need to buy a home and at the same time address the cost of inflation with groceries and prices and gas prices to even looking at things like minimum wage and supporting Main Street. Because, again, if Silicon Valley is getting more money than everyday Wisconsinites, like, that's a problem because we run on Main Street, not on Wall Street. So to me, I think one of the front and center issues have to continue to be affordability and you live here because it's the best place to live, work and raise a family. But if people are being priced out, they're not going to be able to live here anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was just looking at, you know, where Wisconsin is in terms of median income and all of that. You know, it's not great. And, you know, it's. Yeah, we need help.
Right.
I totally agree.
Right.
I think what it's exciting too, because knock on wood, you know, there might be a little bit of a change in power. So Democrats might be able to, like, you know, get some things done.
Right, right, right. I'm very optimistic
I know.
About that. I really am. I think one of the other areas that we have to have another conversation about is healthcare. We know it's one of the leading areas to why people go into debt. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it, you're sitting here day in and day out arguing with your insurance company mm-hmm. about what procedures you can have, what prescriptions you should have, even though your doctor tells you that's what you need. You're arguing that with your insurance company. But at the same time, you're seeing record-breaking profits from these insurance companies.
Yeah.
And it should be about the overall care of individuals. And yet we're not, like, that isn't playing itself out. And so to me, there's a big issue there that we've got to start addressing. So it's not just about affordable access to healthcare. We also have a workforce challenge.
Yeah.
Because we need more doctors and nurses serving in these roles. But yet we know that when nurses aren't being paid their fair
share.
Why would they? Even though they like went through the pandemic for us,
right?
Fought on the front lines, were there day in and day out. They still are like just trained. I mean, the group of nurses down in Dane County area were just talking about even basic safety measures for their well-being. Yeah. And so that is another big issue that we have to be able to figure out is how are we getting people to not just want to go into being nurses and being healthcare providers, but further like serving in our communities, particularly rural communities that we're seeing rural clinics that are closing.
Being decimated.
And are just being decimated. I mean, the Chippewa Valley lost two hospitals in less than like 24 months.
Yeah.
And so where are those folks going to drive? The Twin Cities, Minneapolis?
Why is that happening?
I think it comes down to they're not seeing the profit margins and at the expense of people's overall well-being. And to me, that's something that we've got to hit head on.
What can be done about that? You know, like if these are private companies, I mean, you can't tell them like to close your hospital, but it's like, and then you have tens of thousands of people that, if they have a life-threatening incident happen, we're going to go 3 hours?
Right.
It's going to kill a lot of people.
No, it's going to. And look, like, we are the only country that has our workplace tied to our insurance provider.
Yeah.
You know, most places in the world, you can go and get your health care because when government is running health care or more involved, you have purchasing power.
Right.
You know, you think about the fact that we right now don't have purchasing power to buy prescription drugs.
Yeah.
Like, so we can't negotiate in the ways that we used to. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, if Wisconsin would be more involved in pulling our purchasing power together to ensure that we had health care, that's a game changer.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You know, one of the other things that I was really impressed about that Governor Evers actually had in his budget was a pharmaceutical accountability board.
Mm-hmm.
Where it would look at where price gouging was happening for our prescription drugs, because Donald Trump took away the executive order to allow our Department of Health and Human Services to negotiate for drug prices.
Weird.
Because why would you? Why would you just give power back to Big Pharma?
Right.
So basically, it would be our ability.
Does RFK know that?
I'm sure. Oh boy. I mean, they were empowering Big Pharma. I think someone should let him know.
He'd be so pissed.
Like, but there's the shiny red dye, like over here. But oh, meanwhile, he's giving Big Pharma. But no, I think that we could do a lot with just like pharmaceutical accountability and like the making sure they're not price gouging in that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's there's so much that we can do to improve the cost of living and just improve people's lives. And I think for the first time in, what was that, 2012? So we're at, 15 years?
Yeah.
We can have a government that listens to people and representatives that understand that they are responsible for their decisions, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Right. So what else do you think you're able to do, and how can, well, let's do this. If someone wants to get involved, if someone wants to learn about you and what you're doing.
I mean, they can
I know you're going freaking everywhere.
We've already put 1,200 miles on the campaign.
Really?
So, yeah. Nice. And showing up everywhere, Mark, like whether it's Merrill, Wisconsin or Berlin or Chippewa Falls, like to me, one of the, I think, biggest turnoffs is politicians just think folks are going to come to them. And I believe we've got to show up and meet people where they are. But the other big thing is the last thing you want is a politician just talking to you.
Yeah.
Like, we got to listen. Yeah. We've got to go to these communities and listen to what folks are, you know, keeping them up at night. And that, to me, is the best way we can build trust and really work on some of these issues collaboratively. Yeah, no, we've put on over 1,200 miles. And for folks that want to get involved or want to have us to their communities, because we're going everywhere, they can visit us at sarahforwisconsin.com. That's Sarah with an H. And it's all spelled out, Mark. So it's a super long website.
Nice.
But they can go there and send us an email or a note about whether it's any questions they have or even coming to visit them.
I think it's exciting to have people that are on the ballot as a Democrat, you know, on the team, that are able to reach across the aisle and have common sense discussions with people. I think it's really interesting because, you know, when you're able to do that, it kind of, oh, well, that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
How does that make sense? You're a Democrat.
Right.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah. I will. One of the things that I worked on in a bipartisan way was a piece of legislation called 401 Kids.
Oh, cool. Mark.
And it was about the day a kid is born, we'll give them a savings account.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll invest it like a retirement account. And so by the time that you're 18, if we put $1,500, it will be worth, you know, $10,000, $15,000 because of compound interest over time. And they can use that for a down payment on a home or to go to college or for, you know, a business, to open a business. And we had bipartisan support. Because it was part of what was so great about this program is that you could also use it for financial literacy.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like every kid in Wisconsin would get this account and then they could learn about it in high school. Like it wasn't just theoretical, like they could actually see their own account.
That's cool.
And how they could use that to then, you know, improve their purchasing power in the future.
Right. What are the next couple months, I suppose, year? What is that going to look like?
Well, hopefully it's visiting a town near you listeners.
Nice.
So we'll be actively traveling the state. I want to make sure that we are going to every county, every community, and listening, sharing kind of our thoughts about how we can make things better. But to me, that's like what this is all about, because folks, I think, want to divide us. And to me, that's not on the table. Like we are better when we all work together, but you got to show up and build that trust. And so we plan on showing up, whether it's to your fish fry, your brat fry, your corn roast, like count us in. We want to be there.
I will say unequivocally that I think Wisconsin is a better place when you are fighting for us. So, I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate you stepping forward. I mean, that's a big role. As Joe Biden would say, it's a BFD.
Right. Well, we wouldn't want it any other way.
We don't have to bleep that out. But I appreciate you being here. I hope you come back because, you know, we'd love to have an update on how the campaign's going. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me, Mark, and we look forward to being back again soon.
Right on. Okay. Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, running for Lieutenant Governor. Hope she wins. here, listen to the Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this summer, the Trump Justice Department requested states turn over massive amounts of voter registration, balloting, and election administration records. Two states which refused the request, Maine and Oregon, are now being sued by DOJ. The Brennan Center for Justice counts 34 states which received data requests from either the Civil Rights Division, formerly a watchdog for voting rights, or from DOJ's Criminal Division. New Hampshire cited state statutes prohibiting the release of such information, but Indiana confirmed it recently sent DOJ personal information, including driver's license and partial Social Security numbers. Maine received its first request in mid-July, which it declined August 8th, citing a lack of justification. DOJ's statement announcing the suit said, quote, "American citizens have a right to feel confident in the integrity of our electoral process, and the refusal of certain states to protect their citizens against vote dilution will result in legal consequences," unquote. Vote dilution refers to alleged widespread voting by non-citizens, an already debunked conspiracy theory from the 2020 and 2024 elections. The Trump administration confirmed last week it was sharing the voter data with the Department of Homeland Security. Secretaries of State Shanna Bellows in Maine and Tobias Reid of Oregon have vowed to fight the request in court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I am Mark Becker on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hey, no notes. Sarah Godlewski, what an awesome person. I knew a little bit about her, and I followed her and what she's done in the state of Wisconsin. And I'm so impressed. And I think it's what's awesome about who she is she's such a genuine person, and she's someone who's like a, you know, she's a gravitational field that can bring people into the orbit of being real and being able to sit down and join a movement. And I think for the future of, you know, the Democratic Party, the this movement, you know, Wisconsin, whatever you want to say, I mean, she will be vital to success in November, and she needs to be on the ballot like 1,000,000%. And so I really hope that she is the candidate that we get to vote for. Because if she is, we got a pretty good chance at doing a lot of good things in November. So I again thank you so much to Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and hopefully Lieutenant Governor Sarah Godlewski, because then we can have her back on as Lieutenant Governor. Oh wow, wouldn't that be cool? But no, I that was great, and I hope that that she continues. I want to talk a little bit about the need for truth and realism a little bit. Last week we had a Republican chairman from the 8th Congressional District. And again, I really appreciate him being here and being available to talk. And I know, you know, I've caught a lot of grief for the discussion, and I know I'll catch more. You know, for, oh, you let him off the hook, or yeah, you didn't hit him hard enough. Da, 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 da. If that's what you're here for, you know, I'm not here to make this a blood sport. I'm here to try to bring people into the discussion to talk about things like, hey, maybe people who are in the LGBT community deserve rights. I don't know. Maybe they should have some freedoms and some of the freedoms that my wife and I have. Like, what a novel concept. And you don't get to that point. You don't get to having that agreement by screaming at them in the face. Now, there's a place for that. There's a place for strong debate. There is a place for protests, but there's also a place to come down and turn down the temperature and say, okay, let's talk. That's what I have always been about. I know I've caught grief from people in my own family for, you know, being too soft on issues, or, you know, well, you didn't stand up for this hard enough, or, you know, but it's not that I don't believe in some of the causes that we fight for, but if we want to actually have movement, we can't always be screaming. I look at when I was in the Republican Party, people like loathed Ted Cruz because he did that stupid, you remember, like a long freaking time ago, Ted Cruz became Ted Cruz because he did that dumb, like, speech in front of the Senate for like hours and hours and hours. And but it didn't like actually do anything. It was just Ted Cruz grandstanding for 15 hours over nothing. And it just divided people, and people on both sides of the aisle hated it, you know? And so like, I look at, I don't want to be a Ted Cruz. I can't stand Ted Cruz. I don't want to be someone, you know, I want to be someone who just is not able to bring people together. There are some of my, you know, routine political targets of like people that I don't think do a lot for bringing people together in our area, you know, Andre Jacques or Ron Johnson, not to railroad them or anything, but it's true. You want to be able to be someone that can bring people to the table and say, okay, let's have this discussion. And I hope to have more of those discussions because, you know, and to be fair, I'm still new at this, you know, and that was a new point for me. I will always fight for what's right. And I hope you do too. And there are places for everyone in the fight for equality and justice and freedom and equity. And the more people that we have on that bandwagon, the stronger we are. But when the bandwagon starts saying, hey, you didn't scream as loud as I did, or you didn't say the same things that I say and said, When we start doing that, well, that's when the wheels come off. And if we're going to continue the movement for freedom and peace and equality and all of those things, we have to be able to accept everyone that's there and empower everyone that's there. So just because someone is not saying the same things as you, always remember that those people still are able to bring other people onto the bandwagon. You might not be screaming, but your hand can be down lifting more people on. That's what this show is. That's what I have always done, and I hope you do too. I appreciate you. Let me know what you think. Write us, message us, whatever. Find us everywhere. You get your socials. I'm Mark Becker. You're listening to The Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you next week. Tell me that it's evolution.
Well, you know. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Heather Bosch. Music greets thousands of people gathering for Charlie Kirk's memorial in Glendale, Arizona.
I wanted to come to support the ideas that Charlie Kirk had.
The conservative activist was fatally shot, and CBS's Chris Van Cleve reports security is tight.
There may not be room for everyone. That's why the line started very early. People coming into State Farm Stadium encountered security at a level this venue hasn't seen since it hosted a Super Bowl. Media from around the world, as well as tens of thousands of people in line going through layers of security to get inside. Among the people speaking, Vice President J.D. Vance and President Donald Trump.
Trump noting Kirk rallied young Republicans.